everyone, and welcome to episode 16 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here in the studio with me is...
Tom Magrino.
Henry Gilbert.
Lucas Sullivan.
And as requested, we're doing this in the morning because apparently you people like it when we do this tired.
Seems odd. I don't know why. I mean, I feel like we were having a discussion and it was like, all right, we really have to just force ourselves to be excited. Maybe it is also that at the end of the day, we just think we're slap happy when actually we just sound like... You know.
But right now, I'm caffeinated.
I'm jazzed.
It's crazy, and I'm excited to cast some pods.
Yeah, my feet are all soggy.
That's raining. A really weird statement to make.
I was raining this morning. You know, I got to walk to work. I don't have cars like you fancy pantses.
We all have cars.
We do.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, always. So we're gonna jump right in. Jump right into the top seven this week, which was written by our very own.
Oh, before we. Programming note: you will notice an extra podcast come into your Radio Radar feed on Wednesday.
Probably.
Do not be alarmed. It is just a Walking Dead spoiler cast,
which we may be doing more of, depending on whether or not you guys love this.
Yeah. And you guys are gonna like scream spoilers at the beginning, right? I don't want someone to start listening to it thinking it's Radio Radar and be like, "Oh,
no!" It is 100%. Spoiler everything. Nothing is sacred.
It's going to start with a 2-minute high pitch tone to let people know it has spoilers.
Yeah, I don't think we should.
And then before you even get to any words, you're going to realize that you are balls deep in spoiler territory.
But it's a good game. So we recommend that you play it. It's not too long. I think five episodes, 2 hours on average.
Like, yeah. About 10 hours.
It is one of the best games to come out this year, and we liked it a lot.
Also, the week after that, you're probably going to get either a special episode or a supersized episode for our Game of the Year stuff. So expect a few supersized or super episodes or extra episodes in the near future.
And the one other thing that we always forget to say at the top of the show is we got giveaways.
Yeah, stay around. Stick around. We're going to give stuff away. And be sure to tell your friends because they
wait,
can
wait,
win
no,
stuff
we gotta
also.
Wait until the end of the show to do the full on for it.
And you follow us on Facebook.
No.
No?
The full on whoring comes
top
at,
seven!
Comes at the end.
Top seven companies that deserve their own fighting games, written by Lucas Sullivan.
Yes. So basically, this was just my opportunity to say, I wish these games existed.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite top sevens because you end up, but they're also my least favorite because you end up writing them and then being like, so number one, they're not going to happen. Number two, now I'm super excited for a game I made up. Yeah. And it was also inspired by PlayStation All-Star.
Yeah, so
PlayStation or as we decided to start calling it, Pissasbar.
Pissasbar. No, Pissasbar.
Pissasbar. Pissasbar.
Which it hasn't.
It's been doing all right.
Yeah, it's doing okay. But for all the hype that was seemingly behind it, you know, people are. I think it'll be a slow burn game.
Yeah. But we were looking at like, okay, Microsoft doesn't have one. Nintendo has one. Sony has one. Like different companies have their own brawlers. Which ones do we want to see?
Yeah. So coming in at number seven, Konami's Kick Punch Ruckus. We made up names for all of these because why not?
Did you end up eliminating most of the alliteration?
The ones that remain are for a few. Yeah.
Konami's Kick Punch. Why do you want Konami's characters to kick each other in a punch ruckus of sorts?
Okay, so we had Castlevania Judgment, and that should have been amazing because I love Castlevania, and seeing the characters fight it out would be awesome.
You're very judgy,
but it wasn't. It wasn't.
It was
that.
Bad.
It was. Yeah.
You can say it was bad. That was a bad game.
I don't want to say.
I will.
That just because of the art. I don't want to say.
I reviewed that game.
It was a Wii game?
Yes, it was a Wii game. I reviewed Castlevania Judgment,
whipping,
and it was a
everywhere.
Bad, a legitimately bad game.
I hated the redesign of Simon Belmont, and I also hated that there was a little girl character in there who always made comments about the boobs of other women. Like that she was jealous. She's like, man, they all have big boobs.
If you were a 12-year-old girl, that is what would go through your mind.
Or a 12-year-old boy.
Or a 12-year-old boy. Yeah. Like, man, those boobs.
Yes. But why do you think that Konami's franchises deserve another shot?
So here's the funny thing. They kind of already made their own Smash Brothers ripoff. It was called Dream Fighters TV. Let me get this right here.
Dream Fighters?
Dream Mix TV World Fighters. Only came out in Japan.
What
year? Our lives. It was for GameCube, so I think it must have been
2003 or 4.
Yeah, okay. I think 4. And it was Konami Hudson, who does like Bomberman and
which Venture Konami Island owns now.
Oh, yes. Well then. Well then. And then a toy company called Takara, which we don't
they
get.
Make, Takara don't get makes, I bet that was a problem. Takara makes Transformers, but the in Japan.
So why do you want them? Like, what would you want from the Americanized, non-Dream Fight Rainbow?
So basically, Dash? We've seen how Solid Snake and Raiden make appearances, and it's amazing. They got Castlevania, which deserves another chance for a fighting game. And then they got Silent Hill and stuff like Zone of the Enders, which I think that'd be pretty cool to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely Zone of the Enders. But also they have classic stuff, too, like the Rocket Knight. Rocket Knight would go good for, too.
And they have Contra.
Isn't there a D in there?
Well, no, that was the special podcast called Sudacher.
Oh, okay.
That was
I'm
made
sorry.
By Suda51, SD at the front, Sudacher.
I'm sorry. I genuinely thought that was a thing I was saying.
They could get
it is
the,
a thing, just not the thing.
The Gradius ships in there. It would just be cool.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities. Let's jump over to number six.
Number six, we got BioWare Battle.
I'm okay with that alliteration. On the record.
I wanted to go with Battle War because BW, but whatever, you know? Whatever.
You're getting that's overthinking.
BioWare Battle. So you have obviously. Do you think they'd be allowed to use their licensed characters, or would it be just their original IPs?
I mean,
most likely?
I would hope LucasArts would be like, yeah, you know, whatever.
Disney.
Excuse me very much.
Disney Arts.
Disney would. They
I don't
would
think
definitely
Disney
not
would be that cool.
definitely
would
not.
Would they be able to use those characters? I don't know.
They didn't really use many signature characters in their games. So, I mean, they'd be able to use, like, I think they could probably stick to their own franchises because what do you have? You have
okay, so wait. Let me back up a sec. The thing about franchise fighters that makes them so awesome is that we know these characters intimately. Now we're seeing them fight other characters, and they're all using moves that, like, you'll get if you've played their games.
You know a fight I want to see?
What?
Morrigan versus Liara.
I was one step ahead of you, sort of. Morrigan versus Miranda Lawson. Same deal.
I like
you know, what, however you
I went
prefer.
With Liara.
Which is, and the funny thing is BioWare is sort of, I'll say notorious for using the same archetypes in each game.
Yeah.
So you'd be able to have like,
there'd be a
like
lot of
giant, stoic, angry, weird-raced creature from Mass Effect versus giant, stoic, weird-raced creature
from
Dragon Age. Like, you'd be able to face like almost one-to-one comparisons.
Was there also one in Jade Empire?
I'm sure.
Yeah. I never actually played Jade Empire.
It's a good game.
It's an okay
I
never game.
I know there was a lesbian plot arc in that.
All right. I know what the next game club is. That
all
section over and over
the
again.
Year, now I have to do this.
Yes. But that I think that would be awesome. And BioWare doing something other than an RPG slash MMO.
Slash RTS.
They're in a weird place right now, too. Like, the doctors have left. Like, who knows what their future is going to be.
That cart racers. Is their next thing is a cart
snap.
Racer.
Mythic has liberated itself.
Yeah. Well, this is what happened. When EA buys a developer, they usually last about maybe 5 years, and then they close down.
EA, yes, Pandemic. They bought Pandemic and BioWare the same. BioWare has arguably had some
Nexus.
Of its best games during the past 5 years. Dragon Age?
Yeah.
No, I agree. And but EA does have a thing where sometimes they will buy a company,
give them
one shot. And then, like they bought Command and Conquer. They bought Command and Conquer, and then just fucking ruined it.
Yeah,
Black Isle Studios, I think was another one.
But
done it all.
But I think it would be cool to. I'd love to play as like generic male or female Shepherd, with like all the different abilities.
You could have like male Shepherd versus female Shepherd. Holy smokes!
So without HK-47, I wouldn't.
They could probably get HK-47 because that's not actually.
I mean, yeah, that's their created.
Character. Yeah, but
they might have. They could probably just make a generic robot in another
but
game.
But it would be HK.
Yeah, that,
number
that's
five.
Number five. Valve presents Savage Source Strife. I'm pretty proud of that alliteration.
I'm okay with it.
Wow. So
because I kind of wish you would have found. I wish you would have done like the Source of Strife, like because you know it's going
to
be.
I wanted to go like a Dota sounding name, but it just didn't work out.
So,
yes,
who would be fighting?
You like Valve? If you really think about it, they got a butt ton of lovable characters in their stable. So they got Gordon Freeman, of course. They got the whole cast of Left 4 Dead, all the Team Fortress guys. The Portal guys, you can have like Atlas and Peabody be a duo. That'd be amazing.
I feel like Team Fortress is the fighter that I need.
Yeah, I feel like you're more likely to just get a Gordon Freeman character added to Team Fortress. Like, they're just going to – that's their fighter.
Yeah, but he'd be pretty cool to play his dog, though.
Also. Yeah, I was going to say dog would be a great one. And then you could do some counter-terrorist action.
You know, my suggestion?
Yeah?
I don't think they're ever going to make a fighting game, but I do not think that they are – I don't think that it's out of the question to see Dog, Gordon, any of these characters added to Dota.
Maybe.
I bet that'll happen.
I think they'd probably do it in, like, costumes that look a little bit like them, but nothing too...
Remember, what was that game that came out this year that had, like, you could play as Gordon Freeman in, like, a racing shooter game? Renegade something? You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
That was really weird.
That was weird. Renegade Ops, it was like a top-down driving
arcade game. Normally, like, I'm used to Valve... Like, Valve is very, like, nice about lending out their characters and properties to everybody to make the – usually to make the Steam version sell better. But that's a smart move.
Yeah. Like, it's fun.
You know what's really good? Poker Night at the Inventory. You ever played that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Telltale made a
– I get jealous of
Telltale made. You play as, like, Strong Bad, Max from Sam & Max.
Yeah, I do remember that.
The Heavy.
And Gabe.
And Gabe from Penny Arcade playing Texas Hold'em. It is really fun.
Another good one is the Defense Grid U Monster DLC.
Yeah.
Where you play as where you're battling GLaDOS.
They've done some cool stuff. And I think that that's more likely than Valve presents Savage Source Strike.
But we can dream, can't we?
I actually can't. I have a disorder.
Number four. Take Two Interactive's Titanic Throwdown.
I do not like this alliteration. I feel like there is 0% chance of Take Two announcing.
Well, Throwdown doesn't even like.
It was going to be SmackDown, but that seemed too wrestling.
Right. Yes. But it's a fighting game, so I think that's allowed. Why is Take Two getting a game?
So,
your mind.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Twisted mind.
I feel like I know developers pretty well, but I never really clued into the fact that the same company owns Rockstar Games and 2K Games. Like, I never made that connection. And that company is Take Two Interactive.
It is Take Two.
So, what you could do.
They're like the secret third. Like, everyone knows EA and Activision, and no one really talks about Take-Two that much. Even though Take-Two is like, almost as big at this point. They're probably the number three, would you say?
Then with Ubisoft as a four? Pretty big, too, though.
Ubisoft is bigger. If you're counting the pachinko arms of, like, Sega.
I'm not actually counting the pachinko arms of Sega. They are many, and they slowly fall down and
Take-Two
hit pegs.
Take-Two is definitely top five.
Anyways, what you could get is...
Games Radar of
the Borderlands.
Video game publishers.
You could get the Borderlands characters. You get the Bioshock characters. We already saw how cool Big Daddy was in PlayStation All-Stars.
Big Daddy versus the Handyman?
Yeah, you can get all the Bioshock Infinite peeps in there.
I'm less interested in this just because I feel like
Take-Two has
a lot of human characters.
Yes.
Well, that's what I don't like about Battle Royale.
A lot of human gangsters.
That's what I don't like about PlayStation Battle Royale. It's like... Interesting mascots, and then Nathan Drake and Cole McGrath, and just
two versions of them.
Just guys,
just dudes.
Yeah.
By the way,
dudes getting in a fight.
I don't remember where people were calling Mafia. People were calling Mafia a GTA clone. Were people really referencing the fact that they're owned by the same company? That was a thing.
I don't think so. But
I remember so many people calling that a GTA clone, but they're owned by the same company.
Mafia was definitely.
I think it could still be a clone.
Yeah, sort of. But
maybe you could also have. Did you L.A. Noire dudes in there?
Yes.
Doubting.
Making faces.
Cole Phelps should put Jimmy Hopkins from Bully into tension and just say,
yeah, I'm going to give this one a good kid. Yawn.
Number three.
Microsoft.
Least favorite alliteration on this list, by the way.
This is Microsoft the best one by far. Microsoft Match of the Millennium.
Now, here's what my suggestion was for this title.
Uh-huh.
Microsoft Kinect Battle, because that's what they would call it.
Yeah.
It would be a Kinect game.
No one would buy that.
Oh, man.
It's exactly what it would be called.
Controlling Master Chief with the Kinect and just going like...
It would be like Kinect. It probably wouldn't even have Microsoft in the name. It would just be Kinect Fight. Yeah. Like, whatever. Like, Microsoft is the most guilty of making games that cartoons in, like, the late 80s joked about. Like, oh, I'm going to buy Kick Punch. Like, they're the ones who are making those now. Like, ooh, Kinect Adventures.
So it's practically Microsoft. They gotta step up now because Nintendo's done their thing. Sony's done their thing. Are they just gonna sit by the sidelines?
I think they're gonna see how it went for Sony, and they're gonna be like, oh, well, That's another cancer.
The sales aren't in yet. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yes.
But you know how awesome it was seeing in Super Meat Boy all the indie characters come together? What if you had that, but with Xbox Live Arcade characters fighting it out? That would be amazing. Tell me that wouldn't be amazing.
Yeah, right.
Also, why didn't you have an indie one on this list?
I mean, how would it come together?
The same way every indie game, like the same way From Dust has every indie character. I bet you if like a single indie developer, whoever made Skullgirls, was like, let's make an indie fighter, I bet you every indie developer would be like, yeah, just make sure you license, you give us like $8. Mm-hmm. Include us in your next Humble Bundle.
Right.
Just
Humble
saying.
Bundle. But yeah, yeah. I think Microsoft has the properties. They just need to, you know, spend the money.
I like how you brought up the very racist Kung Fu Chaos?
Kung Fu Chaos. Oh my god. I was like, is this racist? Because it came out in Japan too.
Yeah.
But then I looked at the names of the characters, and they're literally like Chop Saki. And
nice.
I remember playing that game when I was in college and not remembering that it was racist.
It shaped you.
I just wasn't.
I don't know. You figure in college you'd be the most sensitive to finding racism in anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
They literally have like a stereotype of every single Asian like movie role, like the chef.
I mean,
the
I was
monkey,
playing
the
a lot of EverQuest back then, so my brain was mostly
hardwired for racism.
Mostly rot, decay and rot.
The doctors say that we can expect by the end of this year for it to be back to at least 50% potential.
Hopefully.
One can hope. Number two, Ubisoft's Academy of Champions Brawler. Now, this is a joke that Coop clued me into.
Yes.
I didn't even know they had a stupid game called Academy of Champions Soccer.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yeah.
Pele talked about it at E3.
Exactly. I remember that. I was there.
You were in that audience?
I was there. I saw Pele.
And he said,
very close to me.
What's up?
Was that the same Ubisoft? Ubisoft traditionally has the worst press conferences.
I don't think it's the same
until
laser
this year
one.
Where they had the best.
Did they?
Yeah, they won. They
God,
hands
the one
down.
No. I missed in the past it
was,
years.
It was better. It was
no, the best compared to everyone else's. How much everyone else's sucked? Everyone agreed Ubisoft won.
They won, Henry.
I didn't wholeheartedly agree. Okay, yes, they won. But the guy Aisha Taylor or Tyler had to keep talking to, he sucked. I hated
the guy
him.
On screen who was like,
he's like, I'm backstage and I'm having an awesome time back here, guys. Woo! And he was telling such terrible jokes with her, and she like reacted
whack.
To him. It was only funny because she just reacted to him with like a dead face and just like, yeah, it's real funny. Anyway.
Yeah, I hold your very good.
Everyone made fun of him, and then she wrote an angry blog post saying, don't make fun of me. And it was like, no one, Aisha Tyler,
yeah,
we all love you.
Very
no
defensive.
One was making fun of you.
I mean, you know.
But it was the least obscenely French.
Ubisoft's okay. Academy
anyway.
Of Champions Brawler.
Yeah, so you could have.
Was that the one that
oh
David
my.
Cameron was at? Or,
No. That was
David
last.
Cameron?
No, he was. No, it's James
that?
Cameron.
James Cameron.
You actually mispronounced a name so bad you chose a different name.
Yes.
That's not fair.
Dame is
Leonard C.K.
Ezio versus Sam Fisher. I want to see that happen. The prince from Prince of Persia versus Rayman. I want to see that happen.
Rabbids all up in it.
Yeah, I think it would be funniest if the Rabbids were like getting gunned down by the Rainbow Six.
I would also hope Pope.
Oh God. And they just kept coming and coming and just over.
They'd eventually win, yeah. I feel like they need to make the next Rainbow Six game a zombie game. Screw Patriots.
Yeah. It'd also be cool to see Voss in there as well.
Oh yeah, he'd be a good
complimenting people's cell phones.
Right.
Just spending the entire.
Hey bro, nice cell phone, buddy.
No one's gonna get that.
Far Cry 3. Are we? I don't even know if we can't.
Yeah,
talk
the
about
review
it.
Embargo's up.
Far Cry 3 has an excellent opening.
It really does have the
well,
one of the
not
best.
A good. It's like, oh, this is horrible. Oh, this is awesome.
It actually has one of my favorite video game openings in a long time because it does. Yeah, it's like it starts off with the like. Oh my god, this is going to be the most cringeworthy thing ever. And then it just takes such a good turn.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I am rooting for this villain so hard right now.
I love you more than I love anything.
If only they let you like serve Voss as one of his
henchmen.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
One of his misfits? Is that what they're called?
I don't remember.
The miss something.
Don't look at me.
I'm looking at you. Don't tell me not to look at you. You're beautiful. Number
number one, Sonic Superstar Clash. Oh my god, this needs to happen.
I am really surprised this hasn't happened.
How has it not happened? Because Sega has a kart racer. They have a party game.
They had a tennis game.
They have a tennis game. These are all things that Nintendo has done. So why don't they just do a brawler?
I'm going to sound ignorant here. Are there any of these characters in Super Smash Bros. Brawl?
Yes.
Okay.
His name is Sonic, Tom.
He is in it. Okay.
Yes.
Clearly,
yes.
I am very unfamiliar.
What's this video game thing you guys keep talking about?
His name is Sonic the Hedgehog. Less than half a dozen times.
We should bring that.
Every time I've hated it.
When the Wii U Smash Brothers comes out, we are going to be playing that.
OMG.
So what characters would you want in Sonic's Superstar Club?
So there are literally like more characters than I can count that need to be in this because...
Seven?
You can't count very there,
oh my God. There are so many. House of the Dead, Crazy
One,
Taxi,
two,
Shinobi, Yakuza,
three, four,
Virtua Fighter,
five,
Fantasy Star Online. Knights,
seven,
Jet Grind
eight,
Radio, Samba
nine,
de Amigo,
10,
Choo Choo Rocket, Seaman,
Super Monkey Ball,
Super Monkey Ball,
13,
Sonic the Hedgehog,
14,
Tails. Are you just saying characters or franchises?
The Daytona USA car.
Daytona.
Cream.
Cream the bunny.
Cheese. That red guy.
Who else we got? Altered Beast. Ristar. Pulse Man.
Vector Man.
Vector Man, Space Harrier.
There are a lot of characters,
okay,
and they would be in a fighter well together.
The cameo potential is just off the freaking
Do you know who's
going to
be the community choice? Have you looked at the comments in this one?
So a lot of people want to see Square, but I purposely didn't include them because of Dissidia.
But Dissidia is only Final Fantasy.
It's only Final Fantasy, but that's a lot anyway. Like,
well, no, Square now owns Eidos.
Well, okay, if Square would... Yeah, that opens up new possibilities having Eidos characters in there.
Is it Eidos or Eidos?
I'd always said Eidos, but I can't say that with any...
Eidos. Really?
Tom,
I can't,
you think it's
I can't say with authority.
How do you say the name
Eidos.
Of the publisher of Assassin's Creed?
Ubisoft?
Ubisoft.
Okay.
Good. Ubisoft?
No, you're right. It's Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
Hey, here's a funny thing I found out recently. So, you know, HAL Laboratories, everybody thought that developer was named after HAL 9000 from the Space Odyssey film. But then Iwata had this conversation with Yves Guillemot of Ubisoft, and they explained what Ubisoft was for, and then Iwata explained, like, no, HAL was named because each letter was one letter ahead of IBM, and they wanted to be ahead of IBM. That's why they created themselves.
That's pretty ingenious.
I wonder if that's the reason why it was Space Odyssey HAL as well. I wonder if the inspiration is the same.
That would be interesting.
Sounds.
IBM.
Let's look it up.
Did IBM exist in the 60s? 69 or so?
I don't know.
So that's the you think Square is going to probably win it?
Yeah, I think so.
Especially when you mix in, like,
reading these comments, I am
Tomb Raider,
yes,
Kane and Lynch,
if
Hitman,
a nice blend of Japanese and Western properties.
Oh yeah,
Jensen. All right, so that's it for the top 7. You can check out a new top 7 every week on Games Radar.
IBM was founded in 1911.
What?
What were they making in 1911? Were they making playing cards with Nintendo?
Computing, tabulating, recording company through a merger of three companies.
They're making abacuses.
Apparently, they have their roots in the 1880s. Various technologies came into existence, formed part of IBM's predecessor company.
This is all off the top of your head.
On June 16th, 1911, these technologies and their respective companies were merged by Charles Renlet Flint to form the company Computing Tabulating Recording Company, CTR. The New York City-based company had 1,300 employees
I'm actually,
and offices and plants.
Wiki Magrino, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off here, and we're going to...
Oh, Dayton, Ohio, too.
We're going to take a break. Your Wikipedia skills are astounding.
Go donate to Wikipedia.
You should. Otherwise, how are you going to find it? How are you going to know anything?
You'll have to go to the Wikia pages that rip them off.
I want to be a cyborg, and I want Wikipedia implanted in my head.
It wasn't already?
But then you'll have, like, false information in there, too.
No, because if it's like a neural network...
Here's what's going to happen. If that happens, I'm going to create a page for Tom Agrino that says that he, like, died in 1983.
Oh.
And then Tom's just going to be like...
No, he'll just
I'm
pop out of existence.
No, he'll think he's a ghost.
Was I an abortion?
Yes.
Oh,
and we'll be right back. And we're back, jumping from top 7 right on to news.
Still laughing about the abortion. I was wondering. I was born in 83. You know that, right?
I know.
Oh.
I don't know. I just chose it.
You're a year younger than me. I did not know that. Oh.
Yeah. What? Wow.
Which is crazy if you think about
it. You got some fucking miles on you, Hank.
Well, I have this miles. Boyish face that everybody thinks means I'm 24.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So, news.
Nintendo.
Pretty big week for news, actually, this week.
Yeah, it was a pretty big week.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo. Nothing we've done can be considered a success.
That was a quote from Nintendo. What?
So, recently, President Satoru Iwata was talking to presumably a person close to him.
not a Cadillac. He was not talking to a Cadillac in this instance.
Well, no, it was an IGN interview. Right. That was
way to mention a competitor, Henry.
Sorry.
Jeez. Anyway, he said, I always and strictly tell Nintendo employees never to use the term success to describe our own performance. If we call a result of any of our efforts a success, we might apply it as a standard for success for future projects as well, and we could wind up not trying to do better than or not making something which is very different in nature. Who is he kidding here?
I mean,
I think he didn't say cool he should philosophy. Use failure.
Just the idea of using something as the standard for success.
See, I actually kind of understand that because I do know certain people who, when they look at something that they deem successful, their mindset of how to assure future success is to strictly repeat that.
Mm-hmm. Farmville?
New Super Mario Bros.
Oh, no,
New
I'm not
Super
saying
Mario
well, no, that's just, that's just sales. Yeah. I'm talking about people I know IRL that just their mindset is like, this did well, and you can say, like, well, I'm going to do this. It will also do well. And they're like, no, just do that again. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Nintendo is guilty of it, but I feel like if they did it more.
Nintendo is guilty of it.
No, I don't
Nintendo
think so.
Nintendo doesn't have any new franchises. When was the last time Nintendo made a new franchise?
Well, no, it's not about – well, it's not so much about new franchises. Is
tell me what it's about.
It's how they treat their franchises. They always – I've interviewed Nintendo developers before, and I've heard multiple times they're like, well, we could just do Pokemon Snap again, but we'd want to do something new with
it. Or Pokemon Black and White 2.
Yes, but I think it's just recent years has seen them repeating themselves more. Like, they used to be like, well, we're not just going to do another Ocarina. Let's do Wind Waker.
They did another Ocarina this year.
Then
I mean, if you look at, like, with the DS, they released Nintendogs. It blew the fuck up. And everyone was like, why aren't you guys going to do another Nintendogs? And they're like, we will. And it took them, like, 8 years to do one because I think that they were so afraid of just making another one. Mm-hmm. They are probably one of the only developers.
They did something much worse. They did like Nintendogs
and
Snickerdoodle.
Cats. No, they had
Nintendogs Wiener Dog.
No, they that was
Nintendogs.
Yeah,
that's
the way that market the same works. Game though.
That was
I know exactly.
But no, I mean, like if you look, they're probably one of the only developers out there that you're like, why aren't you making more of blank franchise? Everyone else is just making more of blank franchise.
How many Mario games have come out this year?
No, that's what I'm saying is that they have. I feel like they have been giving into like. Stockholder pressure by releasing a bunch of new Super Mario Brothers just to sell more. But, like, they could have turned Smash Brothers into an annual franchise if they wanted to. But to this point, they've only released it once per system. Like, they could have put it out way more times and probably made more money.
So because they did it for one franchise?
And Star Fox and Metroid. I mean, Metroid, they completely revamped it. I mean, if you look at most of their franchises, they don't annualize. And if you're looking strictly at this year, they milked the hell out of Mario. But in years past, you're getting one every other year about.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, every other year, sometimes it's like a really small, like, hold you over until we make a big one game.
So the idea that Iwata would say that this year is particularly ironic, perhaps?
That's fair. But, I mean, if you look back at Nintendo's history, with exception to literally, like, the last few months and specifically Mario, when Nintendo says we're going to – like, they made Super Mario 64. The next big Mario game they made was Sunshine.
Yeah.
Look at how different – it sucked compared to a lot of the other Mario games. Compared to a lot of the other Mario games, I know. But – it was so different. And then the next big Mario game, Mario Galaxy, a totally different take on the entire franchise. Zelda is the same way. By and large, each Zelda game is totally different in every element except like the core tenants.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to go to dungeons, you're going to
get new weapons. The progression of dungeons and weapons is pretty much the same, but they change everything else around.
And they are, compared to a lot of other companies, you don't get many sequel that's the same as the prequel. Mm-hmm. Every like a lot of other companies do that more than Nintendo.
Sequel that's the same as the prequel?
Like we're going to make Uncharted 2, mm-hmm. it's a bigger Uncharted 1. That's great. I love that. But Nintendo doesn't do that as much as other developers.
Or Uncharted 2 to 3 also.
Like, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, Super Mario Galaxy, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
That was also,
I feel like they do.
They don't do it often.
That was a relatively recent thing as well. But yeah, that's a good point, though. I love Super... I wrote a whole thing about how much I love
Super Mario Galaxy 2 is like the better game. So it's like they're at least improving.
Sure. But I mean, you could almost... I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but if you take Mario specifically out of the equation, and they do have tons of other franchises, that's the only one they do it to, because it's almost like doing that to Mario, just brutally, just using Mario
they
for
know
his
he
body.
Can take it.
Yeah, just using him, like that lets them.
Mario does enough bad things to his body that Nintendo can just dogpile on.
Yeah, and then because Mario is essentially Nintendo's prostitute, they are allowed to take time. That's why they're allowed to take time with other franchises, because Mario is just going to be on the corner.
It's Mario and the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Prostitutes.
Devil's Advocate, what was the last, main character that they made from scratch?
Geist.
Pikmin.
Pikmin.
Yeah.
Which was 2001. One. So, over a decade.
No, I bet there's another one.
How about the submarine from...
Steel Diver.
Steel Diver.
Oh, God.
No, the Mii. The Mii is a new...
Oh, come on.
No, that is. That's a new character.
That's not a character.
They've starred in tons of games.
But they have no... Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying
just because you don't, just because you doesn't have a personality.
Okay, Custom Robo. That was a
Dr. Kawa, or the brain training guy.
Yeah, Dr. Kawashima.
Isn't that real guy?
He's a real man as well.
He was birthed specifically for that game.
I mean, if you look at, you could say the same about most companies, but I mean, they're just not about. They're about milking Mario. They're not about milking all of their other franchises.
They literally... Okay.
That doesn't change the fact that statement is asinine, and Nintendo has had great success, and that philosophy in general isn't as beneficial or honest as I think it should be.
It's very true.
What else is happening news-wise?
The other thing that may or may not be interesting, Black Tusk Studios looking to build the next Halo.
They're literally doing the opposite of what Nintendo... We just talked about Nintendo.
Well, yeah. So Black Tusk is a Microsoft-owned studio. I think they've been going by, Microsoft... What?
Game Studios?
Vancouver or something. So Microsoft isn't known for its first party, the quantity of its first party offerings, say, as opposed to Nintendo or Sony. So, yeah, it sounds like they're making another Halo.
So what else has Black Tusk done?
New studio.
New studio, like 343 was.
Yep. Whole new studio.
But I hope it's not to make an actual Halo game, but to make the next thing that will be Halo. But,
I didn't even think of it like that.
No, yeah. They're not making an actual Halo game. They're making
the next cornerstone of
the
Microsoft.
Next Gears of War, or mm-hmm. the next Halo, or
whatever will be
badass bro shooter.
Cameo Elements of Power.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Cameo being made in this day and age by Microsoft?
God. It's so crazy. Well, Rare is dead now, dead, mega dead.
Did anyone else read the article?
With the interview with the guy who left Rare?
Yeah, interview with the guy who left
Sad.
Rare.
He's just a zombie.
Dude, no, he was he kept talking about how different franchises were born, and he's they would start making something big, and
they
Microsoft
almost made,
would be
three different games.
Yeah, Microsoft would be super behind it, and then they kept getting to the point where they're like, all right, now is this is the month where we're going to officially decide if we're doing this game. Like every week, we've done tons of pre-production. We have animation samples. We're going to hire a bunch of people and move forward. And then they meet with Microsoft, and Microsoft would literally be like, "And we're not feeling it anymore."
Wow.
And then they would just be like, "How about a Kinect game?" And they were actually was what game were they working on that was going to be a motion game? It was
They had this new property. I just remember they said there was a Conker sequel, didn't happen. Another Perfect Dark,
which looked awesome. There's concept art and video of the new Perfect Dark, and it was going to be dystopian future, that whole society from Perfect Dark and Perfect Dark Zero kind of crumbles, and it was going to have there was actually first person parkour before Mirror's Edge, and they got it, they were moving it forward, and then Microsoft was just
It's surprising to me because it seems like Microsoft would go the Sony's got 17 internal studios.
That's a lot of studios.
Thereabouts. And Microsoft has
Rare.
They've got Rare. They've got 343. They've got
Black Tusk.
Lionhead. They shut down Ensemble. They shut down the Flight Studio.
I'm sure they have. Who makes Forza?
Turn 10.
You know, those guys, yeah, that's true.
Four. I feel like there's one more.
There's probably one or two.
We'll just
more.
Give them benefit of the doubt. Five. Five internal studios. Well, there's probably like a Microsoft Games Kinect studio.
Yeah. Imagination Land or whatever the
six
hell
at most, which is, you know.
It's small, and I think they're realizing that that's actually – so they're not going to get next-gen exclusives if they don't have
– right.
If they don't make them.
Yeah. I mean they kind of – one of the reasons they did so well this generation is because early in the generation, they had the exclusives. Sony was putting out mediocre exclusives in the early days. You had right. like the 3.5-hour long Heavenly Sword. You had Uncharted 1, which was really good, but it still wasn't where it needed to be. Meanwhile, Microsoft had Halo 3, Gears of War. They kept pushing out these top tier games from third party studios.
Viva Pinata was good.
Mass Effect was a.
It was. So they had all the. Because they were the first ones out, and next gen, they know they're probably not going to get that.
Yeah.
So it's time to suit up, mm-hmm. get some studios to make games for you.
Well, Nintendo needs to buy more. They need more internal developers, too.
We've had this discussion a few times. It's like Nintendo, it's crazy to me that Nintendo worth, what was it, like $15 billion, what we looked up? It was $14 billion. Yeah. They couldn't spend $100 million of that to just be like, hey, group of people who we've worked with in the past, you're now the Star Fox studio. We need a Star Fox every 3 years. Why? Like, they don't have a studio that's known for just, or even like, Do they own Retro?
They do own Retro.
But they don't own the people that are making Next Level. It's like, just buy them and make and give them more people. Like,
yeah. I mean, I just love the idea of Microsoft finally doubling down on this. Like, I mean, I kind of view games like Halo 4 and Gears of War in this way as loss leaders, because it's like they're just going to throw so much money at those games so that they sell consoles.
Yeah, but they need to do that.
Yeah, yeah, I know, and I love it, because those are really good games. And the idea that they're just going to have another new franchise to just throw a fuck ton of money at, that's exciting.
And like after reading that interview with Rare, it sounds like Rare is never going to be that again.
Yeah.
And I almost wish they would have just broken Rare into like two studios instead of doing what they did, where like they just – the reason this guy left was he was just like, we got to the point where they were like, you can work here forever. We're just going to keep making like whatever Microsoft wants us to make that year. Well, like another sports game, like whatever. They are
their shovelware company.
Yes, and there's like no one left.
Yeah. That's depressing.
They had a major brain drain, lost all their major creative dudes. That's what I'm worried though that this is what's going to happen.
Maybe that was Lionhead.
Yeah. Free Radical, but that was much earlier. But I'm just worried that like BioWare, so when Rare got purchased. The Stamper brothers, who founded the company, they stuck around for a little while, but then when they exited, the whole thing started rolling downhill. And now, with the doctors leaving BioWare, I'm worried that it's a similar thing's going
to
happen.
But granted, to be fair, when you look back at Rare, they had, even back when they were with Nintendo, they had more bad games than good.
They had more fair games.
Like
name them.
Star Fox Adventures, where you collected.
I'm going to consult the Wikipedia chip that has been planted into my brain.
Grabbed by Ghoulies is awful. Like that.
Yeah, they literally. Well, that thing was. I mean, especially when they got purchased by Microsoft, they didn't have that grace period. They had Cameo. Yeah. They had a dumbed down Conkers reboot. They had Perfect Dark Zero. They had. As soon as they were bought, they fell apart. Like the minute they were, and even when they were owned by Nintendo, they had. Even their games that we remember really fondly were just copy and pasting their previous formula. Every game made was just...
They made 130 games. Jesus Christ.
Every game they made in the N64 generation and beyond was just copy and pasting Banjo-Kazooie.
I didn't realize that they made Slalom.
Here comes for the Mr. NES. Pants.
Well, they also made...
RC Pro-Am? Holy shit, I love that game. I had no idea. I played that game so much.
Jet Force Gemini was a good game.
That was all right, but it was also like Rare... relied 100% on collection quests, and that was...
Can we talk a little bit more about RC Pro-Am?
Did they do 40 Winks?
They did Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune.
You should probably come closer to the modern day, because you're going to spend a lot of time looking at this.
Marble Madness.
Yeah, in the NES days, they were a very weird company.
They did probably ports.
It was just sad. It was just sad to see. Though also, I got a sense from that guy's interview that without Nintendo... They needed Nintendo there to give a shit about quality. Like, Nintendo got to be there to say, like, no, that's not done yet. do this. Like, well, meanwhile, Microsoft just kind of shrugs. They're like, I guess it's done. Get it out.
Yeah.
It's, I don't care.
Battletoads, obviously.
That's the same thing that happened.
Like, closer to the modern day. You got to keep scrolling.
That was the same thing that happened with Silicon Knights, or at least from what I read. Like, that Kotaku had this amazing thing about why X-Men Destiny was awful. And that
it essentially came down to Dennis Dyack embezzling money from Activision.
Sort of, yeah. That he, and then Activision called his bluff, like, oh, you say you're making this game? Then we're going to announce it. Well, you better make it. And they were so you, but it was also like Dennis Dyack, he felt that Nintendo was like handcuffing him and stopping him from doing as creative a work as he wanted to. But instead, he was making, Nintendo was forcing him to fulfill his promises on quality.
Yeah. So did you get to the modern day with the Rare?
I just closed it.
What you, no, I thought the whole point.
I'm not going to fulfill my promise. I am the modern day Dennis Dyack.
All right, so, but yeah, what were we talking about? Oh, first party studio, second party studios. Gotta love them.
Black Tusk is a thing that's happening.
That's the future.
Speaking of companies that used to make games specifically for Microsoft. You just go to the next one.
Destiny?
Destiny!
What?
Bungie.
Bungie was on Microsoft? Oh, yeah. God. I was thinking, I was still on Nintendo. I had the word Nintendo in my brain when you were saying Microsoft. Yeah, no. So,
Destiny is the next game by Bungie.
Destiny is the next game by Bungie. They finally put out some concept art.
Accidentally.
Accidentally, apparently. And there's one in here that we have in our slide gallery that looks like that Free Radical game.
Time Splitters?
Not
Haze.
Haze.
Oof. Yes!
With the helmet. The game has a
no
Haze no look to it. A little bit.
Can we do a Haze spoiler cast?
There's also a Death Star. Have you guys looked at
this? I think Ryan Talgenick said that it looked essentially like Star Wars meets Halo.
Yeah. I was disappointed they stayed in the sci-fi realm. I wanted something different from them, but
yeah, it looks.
Well, you never. This is the concept art.
Yeah, and the rumors are we're probably going to see a trailer
at the VGAs.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And if we're seeing concept art, that means this is. Yeah.
I think it's next week, next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So go watch Spike. Are they still around?
Don't.
You'll hate.
They just killed that one.
Whenever the VGAs start.
No, you're thinking of
come
G4,
to Games Radar, and we'll post all that stuff.
Yeah,
I think of Spike and G4 as the same. Are they different stations?
They are.
Does G4 run Spike's or the
no.
Spike?
No, they just nope. They their video game content are cut from the same cloth. But
oh, they're different.
They both advertise to the same angry white male demographic.
Which is next, incidentally, our demographic.
Yes, specifically Tom Agrino. The next story: Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. This isn't really a shocker. The Take-Two CEO, what's his name? Zelnick, right? Strauss Zelnick. The guy who loves saying, I will not serve the wine before it's time. Have you heard? On every investor conference call, he busts out that wine before it's time.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never heard that, but it sounds awesome.
He's a cool guy.
He is a man.
We have reason to believe he's human.
But no, it's just him saying that Grand Theft Auto grows stronger because it isn't annualized, which that makes sense to
me. That's fair, though it was annualized a few years ago.
That's kind of true, actually.
Chinatown Wars?
Chinatown Wars.
In the PS2 era, yeah.
The PS2 era and then the three expansions that were essentially full games.
The stories.
But since then, it hasn't been annualized.
Well, I don't know if those are real annualizations. I think
Vice City and San Andreas.
I thought they were ports.
No, I mean the, like, Gay Tony and Lost and Damned were essentially as big of games as Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Assassin's Creed Revelations.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I like that Grand Theft Auto can kind of set their own, Rockstar can kind of set their own pace for that stuff, and they don't, this was what was told to, sorry. This was explained to me by the, some dude who worked at one of the top dudes at the Alan Wake developers,
Remedy,
when I asked him about Max Payne 3, and because they were getting to test Max Payne 3 at the end, because Rockstar wanted to be sure Remedy was cool with what Max Payne 3 was, and they said the guy from Remedy said, "Yeah, Rockstar just doesn't. They don't ship a bad game. They don't. If it's bad, then they delay it and keep working on it."
The Blizzard approach things.
And Rockstar has that kind of
power. Which is kind of scary, because it's like Blizzard at this point is just like crippled by their needing to get it right and then just
But then what they think is right isn't necessarily right anymore.
It's like the most vanilla thing that can possibly be released.
Yeah, it's weird. Blizzard's in a weird spot.
This was a weird-ass year for Blizzard because, they put out two games in 1 year. I mean, that's crazy. And then having a third game come out in like 3 months?
And having Diablo 3, like they set it up to be their next
Warcraft
cash cow, but it was not.
Kind of
didn't find its footing.
Fizzled.
I'm so disappointed in Diablo 3.
We do a Diablo 3 spoiler cast.
There's nothing to spoil.
You fight
Diablo?
You fight Diablo.
My favorite part of that story is how literally every enemy just goes like, ah-ha-ha, you defeated this minion, but I didn't need this minion. You'll never defeat this minion. And then you defeat it, and then they just go, ah-ha-ha. It's like the...
Oh, and God, the minions are pulling... When I came across the butcher in Diablo 3, I turned the game off.
I was super happy to find the butcher.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, the butcher.
Were you just like...
I mean, I didn't quit entirely, but I'm just like, man, fuck this game. Because it's like, that's...
Rehashing?
That is creative bankruptcy at its just most pristine, highest level.
A beautiful level of creative bankruptcy.
That's pretty much the whole game.
A throwaway minion in the first game is now like...
The boss of Act 1.
I thought it was later on.
Nope.
No, that's Act 1.
Okay. It felt like an eternity. It's like, oh, yeah, we have a bunch of butchers just running around hell. Yeah. You'll probably see them again.
I don't want to get...
Are you worried about Heart of the Swarm now?
I am, because it's like they are painting themselves into a corner trying to please hardcore people and casual people. Mm.
That's what happened with fighting games.
Anyway,
we saw what happened there.
Hopefully. GTA 5 does not seem like it's going to be a...
it's annualized. They made it the year after GTA 4, closet. And they've just been sitting on it.
Right.
That didn't happen. All right, so we're...
looks really good.
It does look really good. Actually, when I first saw the trailer, I'm like, this looks good. I'm not sure how much better the graphics look than GTA 4. And then somebody made a GTA... made the GTA 5 trailer with GTA 4's graphics.
Oh, really?
And it was like, holy crap. Does this game look better? Wow, is it not even close?
Very nice.
It's probably
also
like,
my favorite part of the video is, you know, the part where the guy slides over the car?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this one, since they can't do that, they literally just use like body physics to like, I think they like shot someone. He's gonna like hits the hood of the car and just drags across it slowly. It was really good.
Gotta look busted.
It was funny. But yeah, all right, gonna take a break. When we come back, we have a few reviews from kind of clean up from the last few weeks.
No previews.
No previews because, I mean, it's December. And yeah, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Third segment. We're going to have three small reviews. We're not going to spend way too much time on them. Starting off with Hotline Miami, which actually came out last month. We actually reviewed it on the site, but since then we've all had some more time to jump in and play it.
Mm. Yeah, it was...
Some of us.
It kind of went under the radar, if you will, and now we're all going back and playing it. And I think
it's
amazing.
Are we allowed to let things go under the radar?
Well, it didn't go under the radar on the site. It went on the site.
Oh,
It went under
our
radar.
It was on our radar, but we didn't make it a big enough blip, perhaps.
Yeah, it was just a deet, not a deet, deet, deet
right.
on the radar.
So our radar was a little off.
Hotline Miami.
Was this our fault at all? I'm looking for someone to blame.
I played it
and talked about it and told you all that I liked it, and then no one did anything about it.
Yeah, but you played like one level.
I played like five levels.
Cool.
It's a top-down twin-stick shooter stealth game.
But how much did you play of it?
You know, 20 minutes. That's enough.
Henry,
to
you're not
judge
a fan.
A game.
Get out of this room right now.
No, it's just
Sophia hates this game.
Our editor-in-chief Sophia Tong literally loathes every part of this game.
I like the look of it quite a lot, but it's
Tell
the controls are some wonky stuff.
So see, I actually like the...
It's like Grand Theft Auto 2 in that it's pixelated ultra-violence, but this is much faster paced because it's kind of like Super Meat Boy in that you're going to die a shizload.
I just had the picture of Ryan Dalzhenik playing this game in my head.
Why?
Of him just... Because I was watching him playing it, and the way he plays games is just like... He'll do something really quick and just be like... Blah! And then if he survives, revives you. Like, oh man.
To be fair, that's how you have to play this game because it's literally like
it's rushdown tactics, basically.
It's like you said, Super Meat Boy style, in that you're going to die over and over again because you die in like one or two hits, usually one hit. And enemies also die in like one or two hits. But the thing that, for me, I feel like it's one of the scariest games I've ever played.
It's very tense
because you can see the room ahead of you. So there'll be times where it's like, I have a baseball bat. There are three people in that room. One of them has a gun. I'm going to have to run in the room, go hit the guy with the gun, pick up his gun, and shoot the other two guys. And it's like your heart just stops the second before you go in the door. And you're just like, all right, man, go! And then it's just like an explosion of action for like, if it lasts for more than 3 seconds, you're dead. Like, and it's just nonstop. It's just chaos, and then stops.
But
and
then it's
you plan
also
out.
Planning, like looking ahead, saying, okay, I got to take this guy out.
And the style is very, if you saw Drive, like sort of weirdly 80s, but also hyper violent.
Yeah, so the gameplay is really action-y, but then the plot is like trippy, acid-y 80s with masks.
You're putting on masks
murders,
and going around to kill people.
And hallucinations.
And I know, Henry, you're worried that it's just going to be like a realization where it's like, oh no, you're evil. And it's like, that's not what happens at all. The game has a much, like, I didn't beat it yet because the game gets super hard near the middle and then super hard again near the end from what I've heard. But I got to a point where it starts to show its hand a little.
Yeah.
And it gets really weird.
Without spoiling anything, the ending, I was like, oh, snap. Like,
you say that all the time.
You built up
your reaction as if it was going to be something you don't say when you
bring
open up soda.
Sandwich and open the Tupperware. Like, oh, snap.
It's because I'm excited to eat it. Like I was excited to see the end.
But yeah, it's a good game. You should play it. It's super cheap. It was like $2 all Black Friday week, and now it's like
good God.
$8 or
that's
$10.
That's a steal.
Definitely play. It's only PC right now, but if you have a PC that can run Minesweeper, you can probably run Hotline Miami.
I think it's best on PC because you need the mouse to... It wouldn't really work as a legit twin stick because you got to spin around in like 1 second if you want to kill.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. Next review is another small indie game, Little Inferno, which...
Miniature Burning. Sorry.
Which we can't even really talk about.
I can talk. Here's literally the review. So it's on Wii U and PC. It's made by the people who made Henry Hatsworth in The Puzzling Adventure and World of Goo. Mm-hmm. Like the lead people from both of those.
Everyone loves that game.
And if you watch trailers, you're not going to have it spoiled for you. Because in the trailers, they just show it's a game where you throw shit into a fireplace.
Not literally.
You throw stuff. Well, I think actually you can throw like a bunny rabbit, and when it lights on fire, it just poop comes, like it fills up the fireplace. And it is really, really good. And if I tell you why it's good, it will spoil it for you. So just trust me. If you have a PC or a Wii U, just play. It's only a few hours
long. It's
like
a movie recommendation. Like, I'm not going to tell you what makes this awesome. Just watch it.
Yeah, just so you should really, really play it.
$15?
I think it's 10. Maybe I think it is 15. It's a little expensive is the problem. But... you will remember it, and it will definitely
haunt you
forever. next review, which we're also not going to spend too much time on because I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this again in depth in a few weeks.
Speaking of haunting.
We have the spoiler cast.
And the spoiler cast for The Walking Dead.
Yep.
If you want to hear a lot more about it, you can listen to the spoiler cast or listen to the show in the near future when we start talking. I mean, because Walking Dead is one of the best games of the year.
Yeah.
Made by Telltale, who's had a really shake. If you're a big fan of point-and-click adventures, they had a lot of really good games and then a shaky territory. If you're not a good fan of point-and-click adventures, they've never made a good game for you.
Yeah.
The last few games they've made have been like the Jurassic Park game, which was okay. It wasn't terrible. It was just okay.
Back to the Future.
Was not very good.
I remember getting good notice when it first came out, like the first episode.
Because it had potential in it.
It couldn't keep the momentum.
Yeah, so...
Was Strong Bad any good?
Strong Bad started off... okay, and got really good by the end.
What about Wallace and Gromit?
They were never good. I like Wallace and Gromit, and those games were fucking... It was like, you know the dryness that works because you're watching Wallace and Gromit?
Uh-huh.
The game was as dry. It just wasn't. But, I mean, they've done Sam and Max. It was great things with Sam and Max. They did their season of Monkey Island was really good.
I still gotta play that.
And but The Walking Dead is probably their best game. Or
no,
easily.
Probably.
It's their best game to date. It's an adventure game in a way where you do spend some time kind of walking around and talking to people, but a lot of the game is based on the decisions you make and the people you talk to and quick time events. He plays Lee Everett, who starts the entire series in a prison car, in the back of a car, being brought to jail for murdering his wife's lover. And the zombie apocalypse kind of stops him from getting to his destination. And it's sort of just him living in the zombie apocalypse with Clementine, who's like an 8-year-old, I think.
Yeah,
7 or 8-year-old girl he finds whose babysitter is a zombie and his parents are on vacation and haven't come back. So you kind of just you adopt her and try to live in the world of The Walking Dead.
So if you like the TV show or the comic book, this game is so much better.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of the comic, and I still think I like the game more.
I don't like the game more than the comic to a large degree, but I think it is better.
Yeah, it's much better than the show, even if the show has gotten better. We'll talk about it more. If you're a fan of games that make you have feels, I'll say that you should probably pick it up. It's not actiony, it's not very fast paced, but it is super emotional. And if you have people who live with you who ever like to watch you play games, this is great for that. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't like playing games, and even if they don't like playing games, there's a chance they'll like to play it. So, and even for you, you should play it. So we gave it, I've been here for over a year now, and it is the first game I've given a perfect score to.
Our highest score,
a 5 out of 5. And yeah, I definitely recommend you check it out as soon as possible. Before Wednesday. moving on to the community segment.
Last week's question was, give us your most knee-jerk, nonsensical Call of Duty Black Ops 2 review. We had some winners. This was based off the feature that we put up, Amazon reviews, Metacritic reviews. People have really genuinely idiotic things to say about Black Ops 2. But some cleverly idiotic things about Black Ops 2. Cody Stowall, this game killed my father and raped my mother. 2 out of 5.
I didn't expect that. Yeah, yeah. I didn't expect the score in that one to sell me on that one. Yeah. But
let's see. So, Jay, we need to change the color of the font.
Jay Marsala?
Jay Marsala 09. I hate Activision and so shall hate anything they touch. It's a Call of Duty game, so I assume that will feature a 5-hour campaign with a story that makes no sense and a sudden plot twist that ends in the death of an important character who, despite the game's best efforts, I can't relate to and find acceptable.
That's actually kind of funny.
Also, not enough characters have cool facial hair. I demand a handlebar mustache. Zombies are too common nowadays. I want Confederate mummies on fire.
That'd be amazing.
Sing J-pop. I don't play multiplayer, so that means nothing to me. Oh, and the live-action trailer for the first Black Ops was much better. Final score, 13 out of 98 pony butts.
That's good.
Very nice. Shadow Raichu?
Raichu.
Black Ops was more like Fap Ops, because that's what I did while playing. 100 out of 1.
And you want to do one more before we do the winner?
Sure. So we've got Mr. Hollywood with some numbers, 360. 11.8 out of 10. This game is the shit. I pwn noobs all day and night. You are a star G. So is your mom. You hate this game because you suck. I is 12.
All right. The winner, though, is...
Which I haven't heard.
Yes.
I don't think anybody has heard. We're just going to preemptively declare them the winner because it is a...
I did listen.
Oh, okay.
So it's
a little bit racy.
It's a little racy.
Okay.
There are some things in it remember that this is a character the person is making that doesn't like Black Ops 2. That's the preface I'm going to give. It's like 3 minutes long. We're going to play the whole thing.
Oh, dang.
And know that this, we're playing the audio. There is an actual video review.
Oh.
Of this one.
Jason Sick.
Yes.
Is who sent this in.
All right, so we're going to play that. Hold on.
I'm shocked that this works.
I feel like I'm watching a Disney movie.
Hello, this is Master Chief.
This is the Arbiter, here with a Games Radar review.
For Cox and Boogie, Black Ops 2.
plot. It's Call of Duty, Black Ops 2. You idiot.
Whatever. This game is a piece of shit anyway.
I disagree.
You're 8. Only being able to drive horses. Driving horses is for girls and sissy cowboys. That proves that this game is for pussies.
Wait a second.
What?
Drive? You don't drive horses. You ride them.
Whatever. You just can't handle the power of a warthog. Besides, horses don't have mounted guns.
Mounted guns?
You're 8. How this game copies Halo.
How the hell does it copy Halo?
For instance, the stupid fucking loadout system. I mean, it's a cool idea, but Halo 4 did it first. If I wanted loadouts, I would play Halo 4.
Are you kidding? Call of Duty had loadouts way before Halo 4 came out.
Oh my god. Whatever. Zombies is obviously a shitty ripoff of Halo's Infection.
Yes, Halo 3's Infection mode came before Call of Duty did its zombie mode, but the two are vastly different.
You're right. Halo's is vastly superior.
Jesus Christ.
I'm mad it so you actually play as Flood in Halo 4. You can't do that in Cox of Duty.
Bungie did not develop Halo 4, idiot. You should check your facts.
You should check your face.
Sigh. Alright, it's my turn. You'll love the amazing story.
Hey.
In fact, there are now player choices throughout.
Hey.
Playing will result in a different experience.
How? Who cares? The story is for noobs who suck at multiplayer like you.
At least Call of Duty is adapting itself.
Halo has adapted too. Have you seen the new Promethean weapons? They go swah swah swah.
You'll love
nothing. Come on, let's just get to the fucking verdict already.
Jesus, fine.
I give this game a 1 out of 10.
It has to be out of 5, remember?
Oh, right. I give this game a 1 out of 5.
You do realize that 1 out of 5 is equivalent to 2 out of 10, right?
No, you.
That's the review. pretty.
That was pro stuff.
I think Jason Sick has already won something, but...
Well, actually, this was technically Jason Sick and Aaron Baba.
Oh.
So, Aaron Baba.
Aaron Baba, you...
you won. You can have Jason Sick email us for your prize.
And we'll send you a list of things that we have, just useless junk lying around the office, that may or may not include games.
Probably games.
Probably games.
A lot of games.
Definitely
games.
Question
of the week for this week is, so you're, with the exception of Far Cry 3, this year's releases are pretty much done. What game from your backlog are you most looking forward to finally getting a chance to play now that you don't have to like wait for the next big release?
Of 2012 releases?
Probably 2012, the last few years, let's say.
Okay.
That is a toughie.
I'm going to go with Borderlands 2, personally. Borderlands is one of my favorite franchises, and I was super excited for Borderlands 2, but it hit at a time where I was like, it was the end of October, right?
Yeah.
So I was finishing Resident Evil 6 for review and then playing XCOM for review. There was just, there literally wasn't a day to play it, so I haven't even touched it, and I'm really looking forward to playing it.
I want to play some Darkstalkers 2. Haven't played the first one.
Darksiders.
Yeah. You said Darksiders.
Yeah. I was absolutely shocked that Darksiders was a good game.
I started playing it last night. Yeah. It really is just, it is just like, hey guys, we made a God of War, Zelda, Diablo. That's not a bad thing.
I don't think it has much God of War in it.
The combat is super God of War.
Pretty God of War.
The combat is, you beat up enemies with combos and then you do an execution move on them.
That's like every game. That
like what?
It feels less clunky to me. I actually dislike God of War, the combat.
Shocked.
The combat.
Shocked and appalled.
But I don't dislike Darksiders 2 combat.
That's fair.
I think it's easier.
I still feel like the combat is as God of War as God of War. I mean, it's more God of War than it is like Devil May Cry, and that's the only other thing you could really compare it to.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's good, though.
So, gee. Good. I think... Yeah, what haven't I? I played a smattering of stuff lately, so I think what I'll go back to is Max Payne 3 now.
Oh,
yes.
Snap.
It's a really good game.
I'll do that too.
Though, also, my plan is for next year, at the start of the year, like, I'm going to make... I've just had to cram so many games in the last 2 weeks by trying to catch up to for our Game of the Year discussions that I'm going to try in the start of next year to not let stuff get past me. When DMC comes out, I'm going to start playing DMC immediately.
Do you know how happy I am that your New Year's resolution is to play more video games? Do you know how happy I am? Because seriously, that's going to be mine too. I just want to. I don't want to have a backlog for 2013. Yeah. I just want to play games.
By the end of February, I want to have beaten at least Dead Space 3 and BioShock Infinite. Maybe Resident Evil. We'll see. Resident Evil.
Fez,
by that I mean
Fez
no
is my answer.
I think you're going to hate Fez.
I think I might too.
But I'm excited to see
I missed
if you
do. A lot of indie stuff this year. So like Fez and Spelunky, I both heard are very good. I've also heard that Spelunky is fucking awful.
I wanted to play Spelunky because I'm like, you know what? If we like it that much as Games Radar, yeah. I need to play it. And I got all excited and I actually made my fiance. I'm like, watch me play this. It's supposed to be a really fun indie game.
Dude. Watch me do it.
20 minutes later, I was just like, fuck this. Done with this forever. And it's not because I think it's bad.
Yeah.
It literally just feels like it was reverse engineered for me to hate it.
Yeah, so I want to play that.
Because you might love it.
Just because I'm interested to see what could cause such a polarizing reaction.
It's really hard.
It's yeah. brutal.
That's
brutal.
What it is.
It is.
But I love like Super Meat Boy. So you, and so Fez is yours, though?
Fez or Spelunky?
All right.
Fez and Spelunky.
All right. So answer the question of the week on GamesRadar.com or shoot us an email at RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com or...
Oh.
Twitter us.
Call me personally. My phone number is... Oh, wait. Twitter? Yeah.
GR Radio Radar.
Yeah, GR
or
Radio
just
Radar.
Radio Radar.
No.
Just GamesRadar.
Yeah.
Just GamesRadar.
Or Radio Radar.
Facebook page.
Yeah.
GamesRadar.com.
Make sure you like us on...
Everything.
Give you
us
can
a like
us
on everything.
Review us on iTunes.
Yeah.
5-star rating.
And comment on the article, and you can win stuff.
Yes. I think that covers everything.
Covers all the bases.
All right.
That is the directive we have been given, to cover everything.
I think everything has been covered. We will see you twice next week. First for the spoiler cast, which will be coming probably midweek, and then for regular Radio Radar, which I'm thinking now at my schedule, we're going to have to record Friday morning.
Mm. Fuck.
I hope so my feet right aren't now. Soggy next time.
Me too.
Take care.
Me too.
See you next week, everyone.
All right.
What's the card?
We have to look at our cards first.
The question of the day is, which is more commercial? Which
Ooh.
Is more commercial?
All right. I do not have good cards for this.
I got a significantly good card for this.
Lucas, is this commercial?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Dude.
Not at all.
So, I'm going to start with Street Fighter
Oh my God.
2.
What?
Flip them. Just flip them.
Street Fighter 2.
So wait, define commercial.
Commercial
fuck,
is
Lucas.
Commercialized game, a game that...
mainstream?
No, well, the way I see it is the game that's milked for the money.
Okay.
And
yeah.
In that case, Street Fighter, holy shit, it is milked all
you
the time.
You got Championship Edition, Rainbow Edition, Tournament.
So here, just make my argument.
Was there really a Rainbow Edition?
It was like a hack that let you throw like... 7 fireballs in one.
So here's my argument against that, though. You're looking at... That card says Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2 actually broke the mold and went away from Street Fighter 1.
Street Fighter 2 was
Hyper
ported
Fighting
to
Edition.
Literally every platform since...
It was.
1991.
You're right, it was.
Including the Game Boy original.
I'll go next. Plants vs. Zombies.
Not
the reason...
It.
So there are several reasons. Number one,
merch.
Of all of the games on the table, probably save for yours, Lucas, it probably has the most merch. At least the most merch per people who have actually played it.
There's a good amount of merch.
There are fuck you. God damn it.
Oh, come on.
There's a lot of merch. Also, they just announced a sequel. and it's an iPhone free-to-play game where it's just essentially a Tamagotchi with a zombie.
Oh.
They are looking to – and also, when you're talking about porting to everything –
yeah,
Plants vs. Zombies. Like, I'm pretty sure they just put that on like watches. So they're just pushing that onto everything. But I'm looking at what you guys have, and I'm just gonna fucking fold my hand.
I got World of Warcraft, and you know that's Activision Blizzard's cash cow right there. So they are constantly coming out with expansions, and you can pay $20 and get a cool looking mount that does nothing, and people do it. They don't care, and you can buy pets on the with real money now. You can buy. Auction House, Shizzle, and Diablo 3. That has nothing to do with this game.
So why is Pokemon?
Why is Pokemon? Gotta catch them all, and that's what it was made for, to trick children into buying every possible
child
thing
exploitation
you could get. Yeah, child exploitation through enslavement of animals. It became a billion-dollar property in 1997 and has remained a billion-dollar property since then.
Like, it'd be quite the feat to become not a billion-dollar property. They'd have to actively lose money.
Well, there's a lot of things that are fat. Well, okay, I mean... It just continues making $1 billion a year. It started as a fad and is now just everywhere and will never go away.
I'm sure we could probably make a supercut of all of the times nude casters. Newscasters called Pokemon a fad. Bet you it was just like in like the 90s, it was every other thing that was said.
Just like the Pokemon were all over the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Matt Lauer was explaining about Pikachu's electric cheeks.
What did he say?
That's where he gets his power from his electric cheeks.
Oh. Me
butt
too.
Cheeks or facial cheeks?